Interesting reality that we live in, specifically in Israel, and the truth is it's everywhere, but we feel it the most, and thank God lately it's been less in our faces, but a lot of times we hear about the IDF and they're fighting in a war, or there's a terrorist and the terrorist is neutralized, right? And as much as we're sad about let's say, our own, who were murdered, right? But we have a certain simcha, a certain happiness that, you know, what happened to the terrorist? You know, oh, he was killed. Okay, thank God. You know, okay, we have a certain feeling about like, what happened to them, and we feel good about it. Now, to the extent, right, it could be like we can take revenge on them, or we feel itself that we're happy that it happened, or if they're in a war, and we want to know who's winning the war, that we're winning, and this is us, and we're winning. So there's a certain feeling. And the question is that feeling appropriate? Well, how are we supposed to feel when our enemies go down? Okay, now, some people compare it to, the Golden State versus the Cavaliers. And like, who's winning? Whose team? Is my team? Your team? See, who doesn't even know what I'm talking about? That's it's a game. You take a ball, you throw it into a basket. Okay, anyway, how are we supposed to respond when these situations come about? Okay? Now, I've been spending a lot of time in this over the years, trying to really get this clear, because there are a lot of conflicting sources about this, but it's an everyday occurrence, and it's an everyday feeling, an emotion that we're supposed to have. What does the Torah want from us? Okay? So let's go through the sources. I tried to put down together this source sheet. Let's go through them together and try to analyze it. Okay? And it's important that, just in case anyone leaves in the middle, you have to see the whole thing. Through the end to see the turnaround a little bit. Okay, so the first is a Gemara Megillah on Daf Tezayin Ibn Aleph, which many of you have learned this year, and it's talking about when Haman was going to take Mordechai on the horse. So Amalei, Haman said to Mordechai, "Sak v'rachav, go up onto the horse and let's ride." Amalei, Mordechai said to him, "Lo yachilna, I can't. Lo yachol, I can't." We just had a fast day. I'm very weak. I can't climb up onto the horse. Gachin v'salik. So what happened? Haman bowed, bent down, right? He made himself like into a ladder, and Mordechai stood on his back and went up. So kisalik, as he's climbing up on Haman to get onto the horse, but he gave him a kick. He's going up, then he gives a kick to Haman.
This guy's awesome.
So Haman said, Lok Sivuchu, you know how to kick me. Lok Sivuchu, doesn't it say by you, a pasuk in Mishlei, bin fol ayivcha al tismach?
I didn't know that.
Good question. Bin fol ayivcha al tismach, okay? When your enemies fall, guys, this is the key here. When your enemies fall, you are not allowed to be happy. So Haman was saying to Mordechai, look, well, you're giving me a kick to show that you're on top, you're in control, you won. But you're not supposed to. When your enemies fall, when your enemies go down, you're not supposed to rejoice. Amalei, so Mordechai said back to Haman, Hani mili bi Yisrael. That statement that when your enemies fall, you're not supposed to rejoice, that's only when it's your enemy that's a Jew. Aval bididchu. But in someone like you, in a non-Jew, you can walk all over them. Okay? Meaning, we have a pasuk, it's a pasuk in Mishlei, Perech Avdal, pasuk in Zayin, that says that when your enemies go down, you're not allowed to rejoice. But the Gemara, Mordechai over here, qualified that statement in Mishlei and said that only applies when your enemy is another Jew. However, when it's a non-Jew, so then it's okay to rejoice when he goes down, and since Haman was a non-Jew, it was okay. So if we would just shut the book over here and we just stop, right? We would think that means that it's totally okay to, when you murder an Arab or any enemy that's a non-Jew, you can just throw a party, right? Just like the Arabs, right? When they carried a terrorist attack on the World Trade Center or whatever it is, you see, have videos of these people partying, giving out candies, right? From today to tomorrow. So theoretically, if you would stop here and not think at all, it would come out from this Gemara that, yes, we are allowed to do the same. However, we have to move on. Okay, let's go on to the Gemara. The next source is a tour. There's a copy of the tour in Siman Taf Tzadi in Hilchos Pesach.
In Sif Dalet, in the middle of the Torah over here, it says, Kol hayamim shel chol hamoed v'shnei yamim achronim shel yontif, on the chol hamoed days of Pesach, and on the last 2 days of Pesach, Korin Hallel, you say Hallel. Not just on the first day of Pesach do you say Hallel. You say Hallel all days of Pesach. However, Ve'ein Gomrin Oso Ela Kashikasati Pelos Rosh Chodesh. You don't say the full Hallel. On Sukkot, you say the full Hallel every day. But when it comes to Pesach, after day one, Chol Hamoed till the end, you don't Gomrin, you don't finish off the Hallel, meaning you don't say the whole Hallel. You skip two paragraphs in the middle, what we call a Chatzi Hallel, just like we do on Rosh Chodesh. Why is that? Why don't we say the full Hallel on the remainder of Pesach? So if you look at the Beis Yosef on the left-hand side, Beis Yosef says, Kol hayam shel chol hamoed v'shnei yamim achronim shel yontif v'kol hahalel v'ein gomrin oso. Kach mefurish be'erchin perek beis, it's a mefurish of Gemara. V'hazam me'avin in time, the Gemara gives a reason. Ma'ishna b'chag, why is it that on Sukkot, the Aminim kol yuma, every day you say the whole hallel. U'ma'ishna b'pesach, the Lord Aminim kol yuma, while Pesach you don't. And the Gemara says it has to do with the different karbanos that exist on Pesach versus the ones on Sukkot. However, says the Beis Yosef, the Shiboli Aleket brings from a Medrash a different reason than the Gemara. Why is it that on Pesach you don't say the full Hallel? Kasab, Hashiboli Aleket, Kasab, B'Shem Medrash Harninu Parshas Sukkah. Shehatam Shein Gomer Mahallel, Kol Yimei Pesachu. What's the reason? L'fi Shenitpu HaMitzriyim. Because the Egyptians drowned on the seventh day of Pesach. Uksiv, Bin Fol Oyevcha Al Tismach. And the Pasuk says in Mishle that on the fall of your enemy, you're not allowed to rejoice. So here, the poor Egyptians, they drowned, so we're not allowed to rejoice fully, and therefore, we don't say the full Hallel. And then before I should explain, since we don't say the full Hallel on the seventh day of Pesach, because that was the day that the Egyptians drowned, and we don't want Chol HaMoed to be more festive or greater than the last day of Pesach, so therefore, for all Chol HaMoed as well, we only go ahead and say the half Hallel. So what does it say, according to this Medrash, that because the Mitzrayim drowned, therefore, and the Pasuk says, when your enemies fall, you can't rejoice, therefore, we don't say the full Hallel. Why is that difficult in light of the Gemara that we just learned?
Same
pasuk,
but
the guy
says that you can't. That it's all about a Jew.
Beautiful. The Egyptians weren't Jewish.
The thing is, a lot of Jews did assimilate.
Oh, okay. Beautiful. Hold on. You see. So let's ask the question first. The question is that you're already answering it. The question is that the Mordechai already qualified that pasuk to say that when don't we rejoice at the downfall of our enemies? That's only by another Jew. But when it's a non-Jew like Haman, kick away. Right? Yet over here, we have a halachic application where it's telling us that we don't say the full Hallel because we can't rejoice when the Egyptians are drowning. And the Egyptians weren't Jewish. And therefore, it's a contradiction. This Medrash, which seems to be a halacha, seems to be against that Gemara. Okay? Now, Yossi wants to say that maybe some of the Egyptians that drowned were Jewish, and that would be okay. Maybe that'd be an answer. Okay, we'd have to research that and see fully how much that would justify this answer, okay? But either way, we'll leave it as a question, just to understand how could that be? I thought it doesn't apply by non-Jews. Okay, now let's look the next source. The next source is a copy of the Yalkut Shimoni in Parshas Emor, and the Yalkut Shimoni has a more expansive version of the Medrash that the Beis Yosef just quoted, which also teaches us something very fascinating. Okay, it says as follows. Everyone knows that when it comes to Yontif, there's a mitzvah to be happy. What does it mean to be happy? How do you manifest the simcha on a Yontif? So you have basar, right? You have meat, and you have wine. That's what you're supposed to do. Where do we know that from? It's all from Sukkot. It doesn't say, this is a good trick question, it doesn't say by Pesach, v'samachta b'chagecha, that you should rejoice. It only says it by Sukkot, and the Sifri has a limud from Sukkot over to Pesach. But by Pesach, it doesn't say the word, be happy. So the Medrash has pointed it out. Three times by Sukkot it says to be happy. But by Pesach, it doesn't say even one time to be happy. It says because the wheat is being judged. He doesn't know. Is he going to make money? Is he not going to make money? People aren't as happy because their wheat is being judged. And you never know. Maybe it won't work out. So therefore, they're nervous. That's one answer in the Medrash. But then the Medrash says, days. Davar acher. Bishil shemesu bo ha-mitzrim. Because the Egyptians died. So since the Egyptians died, the chenat ha-motzi, kol shivis yimeyachag, ein korin bo esahal, bo pesach, ein on a korin esahal, you don't say the full halal on Pesach. El biyanta mishun v'leila, only on the first day. Lama? Mishun bin fol ayiv chal tismach. Again, the pasuk, because you can't rejoice when your enemies go down. B'chishol yaga libecha, we'll see the rest of the pasuk soon. So, therefore, it doesn't say the word simcha by Pesach, because Pesach is not as happy because the Egyptians died and we're not allowed to rejoice to the fullest, and that's why we don't say halal. Absolutely fascinating.
But yet we can lean back and say, oh, we feel like kings.
Yes. And not only that, but we're going to say halal also. We're just not going to say the full halal. Good? You're hitting on something.
We should rejoice.
Exactly. You can't have the full beautiful, Josh. You can't have the full experience of simcha because these people died. Good. That's going to be a very important part of the answer. Okay, now let's go on to the next.
How did Mordechai know that Mishnah meant only Jews?
We'll see soon. Good question. That's a very good question. Okay, next. Here we have a copy. We have a copy of the Pasuk in Mishlei. Okay. Kisheva yipol tzadik v'kam. This is a famous Pasuk. Everyone know, they made it into a song. Yeah. A tzadik falls seven times, then he's able to get up. He's able to stand up. Rishayim yichashu barav. But the evil people, they just keep on going down. And then the next Pasuk. That's the famous pasuk. After that, they don't know anymore. Then fall ayivcha al tismach when your enemies go down. Ubekashu ayagel ibecha when they stumble, you shouldn't rejoice. Now the next pasuk is very important. Penira Hashem v'ra be'ena. Because if Hashem sees this, maybe it will be bad in his eyes. Ve'heshiv me alav apo, and the wrath will leave from him and come on to you. The simple explanation of the pasuk is: don't start partying when someone else has a downfall, because you never know. Tomorrow you might have a downfall. God forbid. And then everyone else is going to laugh at you. So it almost sounds like, don't laugh at other people when it might happen to you. Okay, that's what it sounds like. We're going to see it's not what the pasuk means. Okay? Now let's go to the next pasuk, next source. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, daf lamed tes amud beis. Okay. The pasuk says, Vayavor harina b'machaneh. This is when Achav died. King Achav, who was an evil king. Jewish. That's very important. He died. And the whole place, the Jewish people, were partying. Thank God he died. Okay? So the pasuk says the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, "Amar v'acha bar chanina, be'avod rishaim rina." Okay, there's another pasuk in Mishlei where it says that when the rishaim, when the evil people are eliminated, are neutralized, rina, there is going to be joy. Be'avod Achav ben Amri rina. When Achav ben Amri dies, so there's going to be rina. That was a prophecy of Shlomo. So ask the Gemara, Umi Chadi Kutcha Brichu b'mapalasan shavashayim. Does Hashem rejoice over the downfall of the evil? Haksiv b'tzeis lefnei achalitz v'omer mahodu l'Hashem kila olam chasto. This is a pasuk that the Levium would sing when they would go out to war against the Ammon, the king of Ammon. And over there in that pasuk, v'abar Rabbi Yonasan, b'tei malo nemer b'hodazu kito. Hodul Hashem, normally we know Hodul Hashem, Kitov, right? There's no Kitov here. Why in this Pasuk is there no Kitov? So the Gemara says, that Rabbi Yonasan asks, why is there no Kitov? L'fi she'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sameach M'palas M'shal V'shayim. The Jews are going out now, the king of the Jewish people are going to go fight the kings of the non-Jews, and they're going to win. That's not a good thing, because the Goyim are going to die. That's not good, so you don't say Kitov. You leave it out. It's not good. This isn't good. It has to be done, but it's not good. So you see that Hashem is not so excited when the non-Jews are dying. So therefore, why is it this pasuk avod b'shoyim mina that the evil people die and all of a sudden there's a party? What's going on? Damar b'shmuel bar Nachman, Amar b'yonasan, my diksiv, v'lo karav ze el ze kol halayla. They didn't get next to each other the entire night. This is talking about when the mitzvim are going through the Yamsuf.
So why did they bring the pasuk in Mishlei?
Oh, hold on. Good. But also shah, b'kshu malach yashar shlom hashira. The mitzvim are going through the Yamsuf. And the malachim were like, woohoo! This is awesome! They're about to die! Right? They were so excited. Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to them, angels! Ma'ase yadai, tovin bayam, my creations, I created these mitzvim. Tovin bayam, they're about to drown, they're drowning. Va'atem omrim shira. And you're singing about this? Lefana, in front of me? So we have a question. On one hand, the pasuk says that when Achav died, everyone was partying, this is great. Yet we see that when it comes to Hashem, we don't say Ki Tov when our enemies die, because that's not a good thing. And also, the Malachim went in Shira when the Mitzvim died, and Hashem said, absolutely not. Masayadai Tovin Bayam Atem Shira, my creations are dying, they're drowning, and you want to sing Shira? It's not appropriate. It's a stira in the Gemara. The Gemara says it's a stira. Answers the Gemara, Amr Biyosi Bar Chanina, who ain't osas? When it comes to Hashem, Hashem is not happy at the downfall of the evil people. Aval Acherim Mesis. But He allows us, humans, to be able to rejoice.
Not angels?
Oh, angels, very good. The angels are an extension of Hashem. Why? What's this idea that Hashem doesn't rejoice? Because Hashem sees the world as a place He created. Theoretically, good could have come out of these people. Now, they went off the derech. They had to be punished, right? But He saw them as the theoretical good. Hashem sees a much bigger, higher level picture. The malachim see the exact same thing. Or when you sing Hallel, when you say Ki Tov, that means it's good for Hashem, right? For Hashem, this isn't good. It would have been better if it didn't happen this way.
Right.
For us, this is galaldic. Because here, these people wanted to kill us, they were giving us tsaras, they were driving us nuts, and now they're drowning, right? So that's good. So here the Gemara says a very, very important thing. When it comes to Hashem, so Hashem says, no, I'm not happy about this, and don't talk to me about it's Ki Tov. It's not Ki Tov, and Malachim, don't start singing Shir in front of me. It's not good. The human beings, they experience this, they are happy, that is okay, and that's what the pasuk means. But Avod Dushar Mina, Achav died, so the people were okay, they were happy. But we still have a very big problem. Because this Gemara is explicitly saying that when our enemies or the Rishayim die, even a Jew, Achav was Jewish, right? Even a Jew, Achav, Avod Rishayim Rina, party,
okay.
It's great, you can rejoice. But the Gemara in Megillah said explicitly, it's not a Gemara, forget the Gemaras anymore. It's a Pasuk. Binfol ayivcha al tismach. When it comes to your enemies, you are not allowed to be happy. Right? And on that, Mordechai said, only place to Jews not to go in. Now we see the exact opposite. We see the Mitzvim drowning, and yeah, you can't rejoice. At least the Malachim Hashem, they can't rejoice, right? But when it comes to the Jew, Achav, yeah, you can party on. So what's going on over here? When are we allowed to be happy at the downfall of our enemies, and when are we not allowed to be happy at the downfall of our enemies?
Okay.
See, here we go. Very good. That is the answer. Here's the answer. This, believe it or not, is explicit in Rabbeinu Yonah, in his commentary on the pasuk in Mishlei, okay, by the first pasuk, the pasuk of Infal Ayiv Chal Tismach. He says something very, very interesting. He says there's a very big difference. And it's very important now. Ready? No, it's not. It's not in the sheet. It's a very big difference between rejoicing because I won, and I was successful, and I am so great, and I beat you, and rejoicing because it was a Kiddush Hashem. There was something bad, there was evil, and the evil was eradicated. Oh, Hashem's name is sanctified in this world, right? The famous words, Tikkun HaOlam. Right? The world is a better place now because these people are there, are away. When we are happy in the fact that the world is a better place, that Hashem's manifestation of good can continue in this world, and that's why you're happy for Hashem, you're rejoicing in that way, that's okay. But when you're rejoicing because you beat him out, and you're better, and you're stronger, and yes, look, because I trained and this and that, that is a problem. Why is that? Now let's back up. Zachy asked before. What's this? What Mordechai says, the pasuk says, "Binfal ayiv chal tismach." When your enemy goes down, don't be happy. Mordechai says that one plays by the Jews, not by the Goyim. Who told him? Where does it say that? Ayiv chal means your enemy. Your enemy could be Jewish. Your enemy could be non-Jewish. How did he know to say that only plays by the non-Jew? So here's the answer. When it comes to a Jew, God forbid, I have an enemy. And the enemy goes down, right? So and now I'm happy. Why am I really happy, right? So there's a very good chance that part of that happiness is the fact that I beat him. This guy was a nudge. He was bothering me. And now he's not going to bother anymore. So I'm happy, right? I'm happy that I beat him out. That is a bad hashkafa. When it's a non-Jew, so then what happened? The Jewish people came out above. The Jewish people representing Hashem came out in the light. So therefore, it's not specific Jew versus non-Jew. No, no, no. It's the attitude that comes. Mostly when you beat out the non-Jew, so then it's the Jewish people are shining. The Jewish people are shining. Who are the Jewish people? Oh, that's God's nation. Oh, Hashem's nation. Oh, Hashem is shining. That's a good hashkafa. But when it comes, the Jew versus Jew, it's not like Hashem shining, Hashem's not. It's the same Hashem, right? And therefore, why am I so happy? I'm so happy because maybe I beat him out. I beat him out. I'm stronger. I'm better. That is a bad hashkafa. So that's what Mordechai meant. He didn't necessarily mean non-Jew versus Jew. He meant the gisha, the approach that you have at the Nitzachon, which often happens as a difference between a Jew and a non-Jew.
It can happen with Jew and Jew anyway, right?
It can happen with a Jew and a Jew, correct? It can happen with a Jew and a non-Jew also the other way, right, correct? Right. That's what I'm trying to show over here. Mordechai did not mean a global answer of like Jew versus non-Jew. He meant to say that it's the attitude that normally comes back. You know why, Haman, when I stepped on you, I gave you a kick? Because I was trying to show that the Jewish people are on top. You thought that you are Malik, you are going to come and get us, and you are going to knock out the Jewish people. The Jewish people are on top. It's nothing to do about me. It's not about me versus you. It's about the Jewish people versus you. That is okay. When it comes to a Jew against a Jew, it's much harder to show that it's Hashem versus Hashem. It's the same Hashem. So there, since it's harder to show that victory, therefore you're not supposed to go ahead and rejoice. Now, based on that chiluk, we can answer the question from the Beis Yosef. Why is it that when the Mitzrim went down, we're not supposed to be happy? Either non-Jews, don't we forget the non-Jews? No. Because if I'm going to have a super party on Pesach, like Josh said, we're still happy on Pesach. Right? We do have a mitzvah of Simcha. We do go ahead. But it's at the end of the day, they lost. And in order to remind us that it's not supposed to be, oh, yes, we beat them. Right? So we minimize the clarity, the out in the front, open Simcha. We don't write the word Simcha by Pesach. We don't say the whole Hallel. Because we want to keep ourselves in check. Don't forget, we're happy. You know why we're happy? Because the Jewish people won. It wasn't necessarily that we were so strong, that we're better. No, the Jewish people, Hashem's name was glorified. That's why we're happy. To keep us in check, the Torah leaves out the word Simcha by Pesach. To keep us in check, we don't say the full Hallel. We still say Hallel, but we don't say the full Hallel. Just to keep us in check, to remember that it's not about us. Don't get too happy. If you're getting too happy already, it's probably because of you. Right? We're trying to remember it's Hashem's victory. And therefore, even though it's non-Jews, we still apply Vinfal Ayyid Chal Tisma. Because Mordechai didn't mean a black and white Jew versus not Jew. He meant the attitude that goes into the rejoicing. And therefore, you could apply, even by a non-Jew, this idea of don't get too happy, because then already you're being happy for yourself, you're not happy for the others. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says something very interesting. If you look at the top of the page, I said, we saw there was a pasuk afterwards. The pasuk said, don't get too happy, right? Why? Because pasuk in Ches says, lest the Lord see it, as English says here, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. What does that mean? So the Rabbeinu Yonah says something very interesting. He doesn't say stam, like I said before, because maybe it'll happen to you, and then they're going to laugh at you, so don't do that. That's not what he says. He says, specifically, don't get too happy. Because if you're getting too happy, then Hashem is going to look at you and say, wait a minute, did you deserve this? If you're getting too happy, that's because you feel that it was you. Yes, I won! Right? You hit that basket, you scored the goal, right? This is me, I won, yes! Right? Oh, wait, you're so happy. Wait, why are you so happy? Because you think you did it. Well, let me look at you for a minute and see, did you deserve it or not? And then Hashem's going to start judging you and say, hey, you know what? You didn't deserve it. As long as you were saying that it was all about Hashem, it had nothing to do with me. Hashem's name was sanctified. Oh, I'm so happy, it has nothing to do with me. So yeah, good. But the second I'm getting too happy, it must be because of me. Hashem starts looking at me and says, oh, did you deserve it or not? And then he's going to say, you know, you didn't deserve it. Now I'm going to bring the evil onto you.
So even if you did deserve it?
That's the story. He's going to be checking.
So if you're not selfish about it, then you could rejoice.
100%. Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Hold on a second.
Exactly. If the point over here is, why am I being happy? If I'm being happy because the Jewish people we're one, and the Jewish people, that means Hashem, and Hashem's name was sanctified in this world. So yes, you have every right to be happy. But if it's because, oh, I did something, or I deserved it, or I gained, or it's my team that won, so then you're not allowed to be happy. And that is the chiluk that we were talking about till now. Yeah.
What if, let's say the scenario where we bombed a section of Gaza, we killed a lot of leaders of Hamas, but a lot of innocent people there, we assume, presume innocent, died. Are we allowed to, and let's say we're like, and I guess it's a separate question, but there's a question of, okay, because the Israeli will probably say, the IDF's great, oh my God, praise the IDF, whereas a lot of people say, praise God.
If yes, praise God, let's go, that's
okay.
Very good.
IDF, it's not.
Very good, Josh. Let's be very practical over here. When exactly the point we're trying to bring out now. There could be, when the IDF goes ahead and wins a war, right, or eliminates a terrorist, so we could have very different reactions, right? If the reaction is, the Rishayim are gone, right? The evil people are gone. These murderers are gone, and therefore we're rejoicing. Like by Achav, it could even be a Jew. By a Jew, there was someone who was bad, a Jew, Achav, bad person. We're rejoicing, but we're not rejoicing because we beat him or because now Hashem, Baruch Hashem, not going to be this Rishayim that can take down Hashem's name anymore. Hashem is going to come out in the light. If that's what we're rejoicing about when the IDF goes in there and bombs people, that you had these murders, you had these people who are doing horrible things, and now they're not here, that is what the Pasuk says, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Avod Rishayim Mina. The Rishayim are gone, rejoice! No problem. Doesn't matter Jew, doesn't matter non-Jew. But if it's that we go out and we say, oh, see, we show them, the State of Israel, don't mess. Right? Don't mess with us, we're going to come after you.
Which is what 90% of people will.
That is a hashkafa, which is inappropriate. Because that's what the Pasuk says, that you're not allowed to be happy when your enemies go down. Because it's not you. You're not allowed. Hashem didn't want it like that. Okay? Unless you say that no, it's Hashem's state. Right? If you got it's Hashem's state. Oh, the State of Israel. Now Hashem looks better. Oh, Hashem looks better. Gevaldik. If the army is a representation of the state, or representation of the Jewish people, and that's Hashem's glory coming into the world, Gevaldik. Gevaldik. Then, of course, you could be happy. But if you can't, otherwise, even the non-innocent, you're not allowed to be happy. Because that is
non-innocent.
Meaning even the guy who's the murderer.
Okay.
That shot in. You're only allowed to be happy. The fact that someone had to die is not a good thing. You're allowed to be happy if the death caused the bow to Kiddush Hashem. It caused Hashem's greatness and name to be greater in the world. But if it didn't, so that's the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, you're not allowed to rejoice at the downfall of the enemy, just like the Mitzrim. The Mitzrim aren't good people, right? We want to keep ourselves in check and to make sure that when the Mitzrim went down, that we are happy because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was glorified, as opposed to that the Mitzrim drowned. Okay, now I just want to highlight this one moment. It's something very, 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 very fascinating. We know how many brachas are there in the Shemoneh Esrei?
19,
right? There are 19 in the Shemoneh Esrei, right? However, what was the 19th bracha? What was the bracha that was added in later? V'lamal Shinim, right? It's the bracha about the minim, the apikorsim, that we want to eradicate. Okay, so let's look at the Rambam. The next source over here is the Rambam. The Rambam Hilchos Tefillah. Perek Beis Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says as follows: B'yimei Rebbe Gamliel, Rabu ha'apikorsim. There were a lot of people going off the derech. B'yisrael, they weren't just going off the derech. They were apikorsim. They were people who were trying to get other people off the derech. V'ha'yu matzirim liYisrael umasitin osam l'shuv me'achori Hashem. They were people trying to do kiruv the other way. They were trying to go ahead and getting being mesit the Jews to leave the Derech of Hashem. Meaning, they didn't just say, look, I don't believe, and now therefore I'm going to watch television on Shabbos in my own four Amos. They would go out, and they would try to bring people down. Okay? The Kevin Shirash, Shizu G'dula, Mikol Tzarcha B'nei Adam, Rabbi Gamliel saw that this was one of the most pressing needs of the Jewish people at that time. They had all these people that were coming after and trying to pull people away from Judaism. Amar Hu Beis Dino, so him and his court, stood the Hiskin, they established bracha achas, a new bracha, shetieba she'elam lefnei Hashem, la'abed apikorsim, to get rid of the apikorsim. The kavod so b'tefillah, they put it into tefillah, why don't they just make a separate bracha? They want to put it dafk inside Shemoneh Esrei, k'dei shetieye arucha b'fi akol, so everyone would know it. Nimsu kol ha'brachos, b'tefillah teisha esrei brachos, nowadays we have 19 brachos. So the Rambam says, it gives a little bit of history, that we had these people amongst the Jewish people who were coming against the Jews and trying to pull them away from Yiddishkeit. A horrible, horrible thing. They had to strengthen us. They had to get a tefillah going. So they put the tefillah into Shemoneh Esrei. But the Gemara tells us
a little more about the historical episode. Okay, look at the next page. This is the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chaf Ches Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan. Shimon Apakuli, Histir Yudches Brachos of Neir Magamuel. So Shimon Apakuli put in order the 18 Brachos. Al Seder B'Yavna. Avalem Magamuel HaChachamim. The Gamliel said to the Chachamim that were there in Yavna, Klum Yesh Adam, is there anyone? Sheyodeh Letakim Birchos HaTzedukim. Is there anyone that could establish the Bracha of Elamal Shinim? Amud Shmuel Akatan V'Tikna. Then Shmuel HaKatan got up and he went ahead and instituted the bracha. He was one of the Tanaim. The question, why is called HaKatan? Good question. Some say, as opposed to Shmuel HaNavi, who was the Gadol, he was called Shmuel HaKatan. The different explanation is why he was called Shmuel HaKatan. That was his name. So the question is as follows. What was this? It says Shimon HaPakuli, he put all 18 brachas out there. Yeah? Now, they needed another bracha in there to get rid of the Apikorsan. So Rabbi Gamliel said, can anyone do it? Can anyone organize a bracha for us? And no one was able to do it until Shmuel HaKatan, got up and said, okay, I'll do it. And he instituted Elamal Shinim. What a weird Gemara. So actually, Knesset Gadol, they were all there. They were tzaddikim, they had Ruach HaKodesh, right? They instituted all 18 brachas. And then why couldn't they do this one? I mean, what's a big deal? I could do it. Elamal Shinim, you know, the evil people, they shouldn't have any hope. They should be demolished. They should be gotten rid of. So what's a big deal? Josh, you could do it. You think? Yeah, I'm saying, knock out the enemies. Finish. What's the big deal? Why? It says no one was able to do it until Shmuel HaKatan got up and he was able to do it. What's pshat? Guys, look at the next source. Very good, Zaki. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yates. Shmuel HaKatan Omer. The Mishnah is telling us about all these Tanaim and different statements that they used to say. Shmuel HaKatan Hayomer. Shmuel HaKatan used to say, Binfal Ayivcha Al Tismach. When your enemies go down, you shouldn't be happy. U'v'chashu Ayaga Libecha Penyira Hashem Berabe Eina V'heshiv Me'alav Apo. That's it. End of story. He didn't say anything. He just used to say a pasuk. It's like David Rasmin Hayomer Shma Yisrael Shalom Kenu Shalom Echad. Please, I'm saying, like, he didn't tell us anything new. It says Shmuel HaKatan just said the pasuk in Mishlei. What's the big deal? What's the Mishnah coming to tell me? So the Mishnah is obviously coming to tell me that it wasn't just that was like he introduced that pasuk. Shlomo introduced it, right? Mishlei. He used to live it. This was a character trait that Shmuel HaKatan used to live with. That when the enemies go down, you don't rejoice. Now let's plug that into the Gemara. Rabbi Gamliel said, we need someone to institute, to write a bracha against these enemies, against the Jews that were coming and trying to take the Jewish people away from Judaism. Who's going to do it? No one wanted to do it. Why not? What are you scared about? You know what they're scared about? They're scared that maybe when they're going to do it, they're going to have too much of a geschmack in writing that bracha. I hate those people. I need them out of here. And that's why I'm writing this bracha. The only person that could write this bracha, the Kedusha V'Tahara, in a pure mindset, like you said, the mindset, was Shmuel HaKatan. Because Shmuel HaKatan was the one who lived with this hashkafa that when the enemies go down, I'm not happy. I'm not happy about this. We have to say this bracha because we have to. We have to daven that these people are going to go away, otherwise Judaism is finished. We have to do it. It's sad. This is a horrible thing that we have to do this. But we got to do it. The only person that was able to be confident that he could go ahead and make that bracha was Shmuel HaKatan. Because he lived in Shpirkei Avos, like it says, "Binfal Ayiv Chal Tisma." You don't happy. You don't get happy. Again, this is talking about a Jew, right? Talking about Jews. We're not happy, but we have to daven. We have to daven. Hashem's going to help us so that Hashem's name can be glorified. If people are going to go off, people are going to be pulled away from Judaism. This is Chil Hashem. Tremendous disgrace of God's name. We have to live with the ability to sanctify Hashem's name. And that's the only reason I'm putting this bracha in. Who's the only guy who was able to institute such a bracha? Shmuel HaKatan. And therefore, he was the one who did it. My mom is amazing. Fits like a glove. The Brisker Rav said this word in the Gemara. And it's amazing. Reb Chaim Salvechik used to give the following mashal. Okay, he said that you have different types of people that protest. Now you always hear people protesting in front of Congress and this, right? People protesting. So you have two types of people that protest. And he gave a mashal. He says, picture a lady running through her house trying to catch a mouse. Okay, there was a mouse in the house. She's just flipping out and she's running around with a broom, right? Running around her kitchen trying to kill the mouse. Now,
At the same time, there's also a perpet cat who's also running after the mouse. Both of them want to go ahead and catch the mouse. However, there's a fundamental difference between the lady of the house and the cat. The lady of the house wishes that the mouse was never there to begin with. She would have been very happy if today she could continue doing what she had to do and not have to run around the house chasing a mouse. The cat is ecstatic that the mouse came into the house, and now it can run ahead and take care of business. Right? They're coming from, they both want to take care of business, but for two very different directions. Right? So he said the same thing. People make protests. Why do they want to protest? Some people protest because, oh, there's so much fun. We're going to yell, and we're going to scream, and we're going to make a sign, and pick it, and walk around. This is great. I'm so happy my friend invited me. And the other person is really sad that he had to waste his day and stand there in the heat. And he wishes that the issue would never have been there. He wishes that there never would have been this BDS movement that he has to protest against. He's not happy that he has to protest against it. He's not happy he has to fight it, right? But he will once he has to. Two very, very different approaches in life. We have to always look at everything in the way what's great for Hashem. It's not about us. It's not about our fun to go ahead and fight the wars. It's not fun to join the army. You could join the army, right? But it's not. We're not doing it for fun.
It's not what we want.
We're doing it to be part of the glorification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, to bring back peace, to bring back the name of Am Yisrael, that Am Yisrael is Kadosh Tahor, that we're the Am HaNivchar, we're the chosen nation. If you want to be part of that, Gavaldik, in any shape or form, however you're going to do it. It could be protesting on campus, it could be working for Hasbara, it could be davening, whatever it is that you want. As long as it's part of the movement of sanctifying Hashem's name in this world. But if it's because this is going to be fun, I'm going to take out that guy, and I'm going to take revenge, and this, that's been full ayiv chal tismach. The Pasuk says, you're not allowed to go ahead and rejoice at the enemies of Hashem. Hashem for sure doesn't rejoice ever. That's what the Pasuk says. That's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. Right? And the only time we're allowed to rejoice is when we're rejoicing that Hashem's name has been sanctified in the world. And that's a very, very important hashkafa that, you know, I hope over the course of this year we were able to learn, you know, whether it's through Eshet Torah, whether it's through being in Eretz Yisrael, through being in Yeshiva, that that's our motivation in life, no matter where you are and what you're doing. It could be working all day, it could be learning all day, it could be in school, whatever it is. It's how can we glorify Hashem's name. That is what we're trying to do. Nebuch, we see, and you guys had the opportunity to see it more than any other person in Yeshiva. You see all these people coming in. They have no clue what it means to be a Jew. They don't know what it means. They're totally skewed understanding what is Judaism, right? It's sad what's going on over there. There was a boy here last week. I brought him to meet Elio Spivak. He went to the same high school I went to. Okay, graduated from the same high school I graduated from. He just graduated last year, and he's in university. He just got engaged to a girl that is as far away from Judaism that could be. Besides that, she's not Jewish. I think she's no connection at all. A year out of high school, he went there. He's engaged to a non-Jew. What? It's a Pella. It's crazy.
They say she's far away from Judaism.
She's far, very far away.
She's not Jewish.
She's not Jewish. Yeah, not Jewish at all. Okay, and this is what the world is about. It's scary, and we have the opportunity to see that. So we are more sensitive. We have to be sensitive to trying to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. To live in a way that everything that we do, the way we speak, the way we act, the learning of Torah is not just to become smarter and know more, so we can sanctify Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world. We reach out to other people. We have to be a Kiddush Hashem in the way we walk through the streets, when we leave yeshiva, who we are, what we represent. You have no idea how you could tap into other people. The power that we have, and not just the power, the responsibility that we have to sanctify Hashem's name. That has to be our motivation, everything that we do. We might end up protesting in places, we might be activists, whatever it's going to be. We shouldn't be doing it because it's the most geschmacka thing in the world to do. We should be sad we have to do it, we should be sad about the situation, about the world situation, and we should be happy and feel proud of the opportunity that we have to then go ahead and be part of the mission of sanctifying Hashem's name in the world. And Be'ezer Hashem, the more that we work on, this is a hard hashkafa to work on, but the more that we're able to work on this hashkafa, the more we're able to integrate it and inculcate it into our own lives all the time, we'll become holier and holier and holier people as we become, and we are already,
and we become bigger and stronger members of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's army, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mission in this world.